As a real estate manager, Principal Asset Management harnesses the power of a 360-degree perspective, delivering local insights and global expertise across public and private equity and debt. Their teams apply local insights and global perspectives to help identify the most compelling investing opportunities. Principal Asset Management, actively invested. Learn more at principalam.com. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Principal Asset Management SM is a trade name of Principal Global Investors LLC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Odd Lots podcast. I'm Joe Weisenthal.
And I'm Tracy Alloway.
Tracy, one of the themes that comes up on a lot of episodes is that, you know, there is going to be a lot of demand for various metals and various minerals in the so-called energy transition in order to electrify the economy, but that process itself is fraught with its own environmental consequences and risk.
Right. So this is the ultimate irony of, the Green Revolution. Yeah. In order to save the world and bring down emissions, we have to move to new types of energy, electrification, a lot of which requires certain types of minerals and metals, and getting those is actually environmentally destructive in many ways.
Right. So we recently had a conversation, for example, with Nick Snowden of Goldman Sachs. And of course, over the long term, he's extremely bullish on copper, for example. Mm-hmm. But as he noted, you know, one of the reasons for his like super bullish copper call is that there just is not as much mining activity. And he pointed out, you know, around the world, it's not just in rich countries around the world. There's been much more concern being raised about the environmental consequences of mining, the water consumption that happens in copper mining specifically. Mm-hmm. And he noted that Chile, which many people know is one of the biggest sources of copper in the world, it's become a much more difficult place to get a new mine built.
Right. So even if there is theoretically enough copper in the ground to satisfy the world's demands for electrification, it's becoming harder and more challenging to get it out because there are these additional environmental concerns. And in Chile in particular, they're even writing some of these environmental concerns into their new constitution, which is very different to the types of constitutional writing that we've seen historically.
Yeah. And so copper, of course, lithium is another big one for batteries because, of course, you have copper at the transmission and then you have, this boom in batteries. But again, lots of similar environmental issues raised. And so rather than just, you know, talking about, yes, there are all these environmental issues that get that have to be addressed, we should probably talk more about what they are, mm-hmm. what the opposition is, what are the concerns, why are politics changing? And how do we resolve or think about resolving some of these tensions?
Absolutely. And I'm also very interested in this from an ESG perspective, because one of the fundamental questions over ESG has always been, should you let the market decide this or should the government actually be making these restrictions? And Chile is really an interesting case example of all of this.
Well, we really have the perfect guest for this episode. We're going to be speaking with Dr. Cristina Dorador. She is a microbiologist from Chile, and she is a former member of the Constitutional Assembly of Chile. Just recently, just a few days ago, we're recording this July 8th, but on July 4th, this new proposed constitution that it codifies, enshrines some of these environmental protections was put forward. It's going to be voted on later in the year, but she was involved in drafting this new proposed constitution. And for the first time, which really gets at some of these tensions and puts it of mining and protecting the environment right into the constitution itself. So Dr. Dorador, thank you so much for coming on Odd Lots.
Oh, thanks to you for the invitation.
So why don't you just give us a little bit of your background in bio? I mentioned that you're a microbiologist. I mentioned that you've been part of this new constitutional assembly in Chile. But where does your interest in this space and work in this space come from?
I did my undergrad in biology. Then I did my PhD in Germany, where I focused the study of microorganisms in extreme environments. So then I come back to Chile to analyze the microorganisms that live in the desert, the Atacama Desert, and also in other places such as Salares. They are very special ecosystem, evaporitic lakes that now are the source for lithium. So I'm working in this subject more than, 20 years ago. Yeah. So we have a lot of experience about ecology and also the microorganisms that live in there.
So you mentioned the unique ecosystem of Chile. Could you maybe give us a little bit more color on that? Like, what exactly is it about the geography of Chile that makes it so important to things like copper and lithium mining?
Sure. Well, Chile is a land of extremes. You know, in the north of Chile, we have the driest desert in the world, that's the Atacama Desert. In the south, is Patagonia. But specifically in the Atacama Desert, there are a high concentration of minerals and also high diversity. So it's possible to find almost the whole periodic table here and also in large reserves. And in a special case of the water, because it's an arid desert, of course, water is under the ground. And also the fresh water is coming from raining during the summer. And it's located in these special lakes that are called Salares, as I already mentioned, and a couple of rivers. So the water is very scarce. And actually, for all the mining, the big mining that produced Chile is using the scarce water from the desert. So it's also a big paradox.
Yeah, so that's something that came up on a recent episode. And we were talking to the chief metal strategist at Goldman Sachs. And he mentioned, the copper mining is generally improved its sort of environmental sustainability. But for one thing, there is a huge water need in copper mining. Can you talk a little bit about, from your perspective, what you see? You know, start with copper. We'll also talk a lot about lithium, since I know you do a lot of work on that. But what do you see as sort of like the environmental costs or the price that Chile or the people in Chile pay for being such a big source of copper mining?
Yeah, well, the copper mining exploitation is happening here since, more than 100 years. And so it's a long story. And during all this time, the water they're using for these processes have been obtained locally. So that means from underground water and also the Loa River, that is the only river that we have here in the Antofagasta region. And the large copper mining in the last from the 90s started big private mining working. They have been used water from Salares, so there are many cases that this big mining have drained out whole ecosystem, producing the whole water, from extracting the water for more than 20-25 years, day and night. So that is a massive environmental damage, and also. It's not only the damage is environmentally, also it's social, because they have practices that people were not used to, to deal with. And so it's very complex. But now copper mining is start to use the salinized water from the sea, so either direct seawater or through the salinization plants. But also, of course, everything have an effect. So, and the main problem, I think, here is the magnitude, because the magnitude of processing this copper is immense. It's so big that people can see these holes from the space, So that means also a equivalent amount of water that have to be used.
So my understanding is that a lot of water is also used in lithium mining. Could you maybe describe that process as well? And also tell us what your own research says about quantifying the economic damage from these types of processes?
Yeah. In the case of lithium, lithium is concentrated here in this evaporitic basin called Salares. There were in the past large paleolakes that through the time have been drying out. And the industry, what they do is to pump it out the brines that are actually water full of salts or concentrated in salts. And between these salts is lithium there. And they evaporate the water. So this is some water mining. So it's not a mining from the rocks, it's from the water. So they have to be free of the water, so evaporate the water, and then concentrate the lithium in a very arid place, produce major effects. So we have a study using satellite images and also other parameters. The Salar de Atacama, where is the main extraction right now, has been affected in different ways. For example, it's less water in general, but also the population of flamingos have been migrated from here. So this is less. In the last 10 years, population of endemic flamingos have been decreasing in a 12%.
As a leading real estate manager, Principal Asset Management harnesses the power of a 360-degree perspective, delivering local insights and global expertise across public and private equity and debt. Our experienced teams are uniquely positioned to uncover compelling opportunities in today's market, giving our clients an exclusive advantage. Principal Asset Management actively invested. Learn more at principalam.com. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Principal Asset Management SM is a trade name of Principal Global Investors, LLC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Your scientific background is microbiology. Can you talk a little bit further about the microbiology of the region? And I mean, this is going to sound crass, but I don't mean it at all in a crass way. But I guess the question is, why should people care more about this? And what are, in theory, I get why people worry about the loss of wildlife, the loss of biological diversity, and so forth. But how do you, especially like even in the drafting of the Constitution, how do you express the risks involved from damaging some of these ecosystems?
It's very complicated because first, all these ecosystems I'm talking about, Atacama Desert and Salares, for a long time have been think that there were no life there. Because if you see a picture from the Atacama, it's nothing. You cannot see in some parts any plant. But the life that is there is microbial. So if we take any sample from this dry soil of salt or whatever, we can find bacteria and microorganisms that live there. And they are very important part of the trophic web. So flamingos, for example, that are in this Salar de Atacama and in others, they eat sediments. And these sediments are full of bacteria and that also being used as a energy source of energy and pigments and whatever that are important for the life. So everything is related. So, and that's why they're very fragile, because when the system change at microbial level also affect at major levels. So the impacts are even bigger. So that's has been very complicated to explain this, because it's different when there is another sensibility when environmentalists, for example, they claim to protect a native forest,
right,
or Patagonia, is visible life there, and also the landscape are amazing, so people really feel touchy about that. But when you talk about please protect the desert, it's like what? The desert is there to be exploded more than 100 years ago. I have been the source of resources for Chile always, so nobody really talk about protection of the desert. It's something even sometimes uncomfortable, because you know, environmental is not seen as something important for a long time for about mining. So we have to put that information also on the table for discussion in the assembly, and we reach, I think, very important objective. First, we declare that the nature has rights, and this is a major advance, because change our ethics regarding ecology. So we recognize ourselves as a human, as part of an ecosystem. And that also means that we need, as a human, of course, we have the responsibility to take care about the nature regarding certain regulations, of course. So, yeah, this was very interesting challenge.
How do people in Chile feel about the mining industry? And I realize it's difficult to generalize, and probably your opinion will be informed by how close you are to any mining operations. But my understanding is that it brings a lot of money into the country, but that money is not necessarily well distributed among the population, and that economic inequality is one of the reasons why the country embarked on this new constitution process in the first place. There were big protests in 2019. So how do people feel, you know, broadly about the industry?
Well, in general, there is the feeling that the economical system that Chile has, mostly based on the extraction of raw materials, even minerals or forests or salmon, whatever, is not really helping people, because of the political system that we have, a legacy from the constitution of 1980s. So that's why it was so important to change this constitution. First, to guarantee social rights. So now we advance from a subsidiary state, a one based on democracy and social rights. And regarding mining, so I'm come from Antofagasta. This is the biggest region of mining, I would say, in Chile and probably in the world for copper. And my family is from here. So we have a long history in this territory. And the feeling of the people is that, of course, it's important mining. They give a lot of jobs, but they haven't really improved life here. So, for example, we still doesn't have good railways or good transportation system, whatever. Those are the basic things for living in a place. All the money goes to Santiago, and especially to three, we say, comunas, the most rich ones. And from there, they distribute the money back to the territories. So that is very unfair. That's why one of the most important advances is the new proposal of constitution, is that the state create a new political and regional system. It's called Estado Regional or Regional States, when every region is half autonomy. And that's very important, because we will take our own decision, and also we will have our own money. We will not have to depend anymore of the decision of Santiago. So that is a major advance. And probably also that will have consequences at environmental or other levels.
So you mentioned enshrining the rights of nature in the Constitution. And again, this is the first time that this has really been done to my knowledge, on a constitutional basis. But how far does the draft that was released this week actually go? Is it a complete ban on mining or something less than that?
Nothing changed really, as we have in a short place, in the short term, sorry. The important thing is that, for example, for water. Mm-hmm. In Chile, water has been privatized. So now we demand in the constitution that all these propriety rights are converted into authorization. So before people can freely obtain these property rights and have them for forever, you know, for perpetual. So now we'll be focused on the humans, on people, instead of the different other uses, because we also write in this proposal the human right for water that was not guaranteed. In Chile, there are people that don't have access to water at all. But next to them, their population are companies using the water, you know, and the state don't focus on people. So this kind of inequalities we have already. So So that's why it's so important to advance in this recognizement of the nature right. So it's not only just that. Also, there is a whole very robust body of articles that will help to put that in movement, all these rights, especially the creation of the, we call it the defensory of the environment. So people could, they are present their demands or the requirements about nature protection. And of course, the environmental standards, either for mining or for other activities, will increase. But that is, I wanted to say that this is not something bad. It's something necessary.
Right.
We as our country will be one of the most affected countries by climate change. So we need to also take care about our future. I know it's a protection of copper and lithium is very important now for EV cars and everything. But also we need to take care about our own land, you know? This is the opportunity that we have, you know, to write our own constitution, say that we want for the future of for people.
Mm. I want to ask more about what the constitution actually does and how you see it working. But before we do, you mentioned the water system in Chile. And my understanding is that it's the only country in the world with a fully privatized water market. Can you explain how that came to be?
Mm. Mm. Well, that was a whole ideological plan preparing during the dictatorship of Pinochet. So the constitution of 1980s was written in a way that to think about the state needs to have less power. And it's also very important elements like the water and other were privatized because in their ideology, they think that this is the best way to manage a country. But now, after more than 40 years, we know that this is not the way for us. That's why there was this, estallido social, or no, in 2019, and it's not really working. You know, all the system produce a large inequality in the country that is immense, and not only regarding to money or access to buy things of consume. It's also cultural, gender based, depends where you live, everything. So it's impossible to maintain a social equilibrium or social peace like that. That's why it's so important to change the constitution. And with this in mind, for example, the water code was created in 1981, and in 1982 already the big miners were already obtaining the water right that explodes in the 90s. So there was a whole preparation to produce large amounts of copper in after the dictatorship.
So Corey, the last time we talked about this, our guest said that already Chile has become a much harder place to launch a new copper mine. So even setting aside the new constitution and whether it passes in a national referendum, that in 2022, it's significantly more difficult to get started on a new mining project than it was 20 years ago in the early 2000s when we had the last sort of commodity super cycle and there was tons of demand from China for copper and other minerals and it sent prices soaring. Can you talk a little bit about what's happened and what's changed over the last several years such that politics has changed, mining permitting has changed, and just, I guess, general awareness of environmental consequences has become more top of mind?
I'm not really agree with that because we just try to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for one way, all the in the economical point of view, usually it's not include the environmental damage. We don't know, for example, the amount of money that have been maybe paid by the state to solve problems related to big mining. Because as it not insists, it's not in the equation. Mm-hmm. Also, it's not in the equation, the social cost for example, the work that is not paid well by women, because women have all the tasks of care, that thanks to that, men especially can work in the mines. That's not included in this equation. So probably we are not really seeing the whole pictures. That's why we just demand more control, no? That people can also be part of the decision, because also the Constitution includes that method of direct democracy and more participation in the decision that we affect their own lives. It's more democracy.
So,
and that is a very good news for the world, because also for the mining, they will have, if they do well stuff now regarding all this new, you know, if this approve, of course, new demands, they will have a higher consideration at local level, because also for some people, they are bad neighbors, you know? So it's also important to think about this point of view.
So would you say that as of right now, like the current status quo, that there just hasn't been much change, and that, you know, the extractive industries, whether we're talking copper, lithium, other minerals that companies want to mine, the status quo right now is still pretty liberal in terms of what companies are able to do?
Yeah, that is pretty liberal. Yeah. They are, of course, they're environmental regulation, but they're not so strong as it should be, I think. For example, just a very short example.
Yeah.
Here in Atacama, there is a case of a gold mine that was actually everywhere in the world, that was in the National Geographic magazine, where to start to dig the mining, they need to move a whole colony of chinchilla. That is an animal in
almost chinchillas are very cute. Yes.
Exactly, as well. And they propose a plan to move the chinchilla from this mountain and to move to another one. And of course, in the transportation, they'll die. And that's not good mining. It's complicated, but I think we need to face these problems in a wider way. We need to talk about it. Not just everything has to be, you know, surrounded by market. Mm. We need to also think about the future. We cannot do the same thing forever because we have limits. The planet has limits. And if we put inside the climate change, even worse. So that's why it's so important to include different ways and include diversity. People that think differently in these big dialogues. Otherwise, nothing will happen and we'll be worse at the end of the day.
So on the topic of paradoxes and looking at the planet as a whole, and I want to make it really clear that this is a devil's advocate question before I ask it. But what do you say to people who will look at the situation in Chile and they will say, well, we need that copper and we need that lithium so that we can shift to cleaner and greener technologies on a global basis. We need electric cars. We need more electricity in general in order to reduce emissions and save the entire planet. And what if it is necessary to sacrifice a desert in Chile in order to save the planet more broadly? What would you say to those people?
I think we need more elements in the conversation. First, I think we agree, then we need to decrease emission. It's something crucial. But the countries that produce more carbon dioxide, they're really doing their best. You know, they're really decreasing the amount of carbon that they produce. Because we, Chile, we are a very small country compared to others. We don't produce much carbon. We produce very little in compared to the big, China or the U.S. But we have the copper and the lithium. So, and also the question is, of course, we it's important to make this just transition for electricity, but really will change our destiny of global warming? That's one question that we have to solve. You know, I think we need more research about that and an open research, a research that includes other views, not just a way of replacement. Like what we do is a replacement of things. We replace cars based on carbon to cars based on electricity, but it's still being cars. And it's not also any incentive to decrease the number of cars. It's the opposite. So if I think that the conversation have to be more honest. It's not just we sacrifice ecosystem for the good of the planet, because I'm not sure that we, it's like that at the end, if we put all together.
As a leading real estate manager, Principal Asset Management harnesses the power of a 360-degree perspective, delivering local insights and global expertise across public and private equity and debt. Our experienced teams are uniquely positioned to uncover compelling opportunities in today's market, giving our clients an exclusive advantage. Principal Asset Management actively invested. Learn more at principalam.com. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Principal Asset Management SM is a trade name of Principal Global Investors, LLC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
So the current status quo seems to be you have a few extremely rich countries, or very big countries in the case of China, that produce a massive amount of emissions. And then there are mining, and it's in smaller countries. As you mentioned, Chile is not a very big contributor to emissions or global warming directly. And so the rich countries in the world want to electrify and need or want the minerals and metals of poorer countries. Do you work with activists and scientists and politicians in other countries as well to think about a sort of global response to this? And more broadly, like, why do you think it's happening now? Because my impression is that it's not just in Chile where people are sort of becoming more aware and waking up to some of the costs associated with industrial scale mining.
Sure, sure. Science and knowledge is a collective work.
Right.
In my case also have been a personal way, a personal road, because I'm from very specific discipline that is microbiology. And I have to, and when, how realize this thing, because I'm working in Solaris. So every time I've been there working, you know, to study the biochemical mechanism for bacterial for adaptation to extreme conditions, we went there and we noticed of the lake that we are working. I say that it's also have been a personal road, you know, me as a microbiologist, scientists working in a very specific mechanism to understand the biology of microbes. Then we went to the Solaris working, and every time we were there, we realized that it was something different. So the place that we used to work, that doesn't exist anymore. It was completely drying out, for example. So at some point, we faced that personally. So, okay, it's very important, the science, very important to write papers, to know, you know, to be in the system, but what we as a human, as a person living here, we can protect this ecosystem, because we know that it's so important. They have a high biodiversity. They're probably, in terms of biotic compounds, is a source of new medicine for the world. But the use that now exists in this ecosystem is the destruction, because lithium extraction is the destruction, means the destruction of the Solaris. There's no other way until now. And that's why I start to talk with other people, with other countries, with other disciplines. I start to also create a network of people from anthropology that also works in economy. And we are discussing this. And I realized that was not crazy to think that, you know, as a could be another ways, another possibilities. And that we are trying to work now.
Can technology save us from having to make some of these hard decisions? I feel like that's what people are often hoping, right? That there will be more efficient ways to use water when it comes to copper or lithium mining, and it won't have as big an environmental impact, and we can keep doing it while electrifying the planet. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, technology is important. Science is very important. Chile especially is a country that invests very, very few in science and technology. That's why it's something that we put a lot of attention in the new constitution. We declare the rights of knowledge, and we hope, I really hope, that that will produce more alternatives and also more technology. But there is no one solution for this. You know, it's that very, very complex. And we have to face this complexity. And to face complexity, we need to include more people in the discussions.
So July 4th, the new constitution was unveiled. What is the process now, just for our listeners? There's going to be a referendum later this year. Like, what happens between now and then, and how does this work?
Yeah, it would be a referendum September 4th, in 2 months, more or less. Now already started the campaigns about two decisions, yes, rechazo, and the proposal that we did. So if it's win the rechazo, we will stay as we are without changes. Mm-hmm. But also it's a complicated situation because we will not give any response to the social demands of people. So right. Probably that also will produce a time on political instability in the country. And if they win the approval, we need to also, I mean, as a country, we need to work on install what the constitution say. That, of course, would be a long-term process. Probably would take years to do that. But I think it's very necessary, considering that we need to advance in wellness for the people and also to face this big challenge that we have as a small country that also will be very affected by climate change.
Do you think the new constitution will be approved?
Yeah, I think so. It's complicated. There is a lot of fake news around it. Mm-hmm. And mass media are not really helping, but I think people is very interesting and they're really looking for changes. So yeah, now we have to work a lot for that.
How exportable do you think some of the principles enshrined in this new constitution would be to other countries? And, you know, I've seen it described, in all types of language. I think The Economist called it a fiscally irresponsible left-wing wish list, which seems quite harsh. I've seen people call it a woke constitution. I've seen other people just say it's more progressive in the sense that it pays attention to what people in Chile actually care about, which, you know, is gender and economic equality and environmental concerns, as you've been laying out. Do you think the principles or just the idea of some of these principles could be used in other countries?
Well, during the dictatorship, Chile also lived, I think, one of the biggest experiments in the world. You know, we were the experiment for the neoliberalism. Mm. And those are the consequences. So, and now this is a hope for people, hope to live a good, have a good life. Also when we explain that to people is I have the experience to live in Europe, for example, and it's something, you know, normal that someone have right to go to the hospital and have good quality attention, or to go the kids can go to the school and they will be accepted, not because of the amount of money that they will have. So there are basic things, that's a human rights. That's what we are looking for here. So, and I think the analysts sometimes, especially when they look South America, they really reduce the complexity of politics to left or right. Mm-hmm. Here we are facing big challenges. I think what is climate change? Is left or right? It's different. It's different. So I think it's also we need to do a more deep try to understand what's going on in other countries, think a little bit outside the box of the market. think a little bit about the diversity, the contribution of the diversity, and also the future. And that is one of the things that Chile can contribute. Especially, for example, I will mention about, this is the first time that we include native, you know, indigenous people in this conversation. And that also produce, for example, we push an area called epistemic justice or knowledge justice. So we have to respect what the other think and also what they know. That's why in our constitution, regarding the right for science, we call right for knowledge. So it's the first time, and it's also it's a recommendation from UNESCO, that we recognize the knowledge as a whole. So I mean science, technology, but also arts, humanities, local knowledge, and indigenous knowledge. And that, I think, is a very important starting point to deal with these complex problems that we are dealing right now, and of course, we will deal in the future.
Dr. Dorador, thank you so much for coming on. We've been needing this perspective in the conversation for a while, and really appreciate you laying it out and talking about the work that you've done on the new constitution and the rethinking of the costs of mining. So appreciate you coming on Nodlots.
Okay, thank you very much again. I hope the ideas were understandable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because it's not easy other in other language. But thank you very much to cover this thing. I think it's important for the audience.
Thanks, Christina.
Yeah, thank you so much. Tracy, I thought that was a really good conversation. And I think that, you know, whether you think, oh, electrification and decarbonization should be prioritized, whether you think, you know, wherever you weight these various issues, like this tension is very real.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether the new Chilean constitution is going to pass or not in September, but I don't think that this sort of like growing awareness and maybe backlash towards some of the environmental costs of mining is something that's going to diminish anytime soon.
No, it feels like the tension is kind of inescapable at this point. I did think Christina's point about electric cars and the transition there. Mm-hmm. This is something that came up before, although I can't remember who, but this idea that even if Western countries shift to completely electrified modes of transport, it doesn't mean that suddenly the whole planet is saved, because a lot of those old vehicles just go to emerging markets and continue spewing emissions. So I think what she's getting at is the need for a holistic planet-wide plan. And then when I say that, I just feel very, very sad, because it feels like that is so far off, and it is really hard to sort of balance individual interests versus the whole.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is like, look, I think it's not very hard to get corporate interests in wealthy countries or even the public necessarily behind the idea of like decarbonization. People like electric cars, even for non-environmental reasons. And so if it's just about moving from gas to electricity, that's pretty popular. I don't like anytime the conversation shifts towards consuming less, fewer cars, less consumption overall. Then I think like from a sort of like political standpoint, from a market standpoint, from a public in rich countries standpoint, those solutions almost seem like completely off the table and unacceptable. So the idea of like, what about consuming? What about having fewer cars? What about making cars more sustainable so that they don't need to be replaced all the time? Like that's when I think the conversation gets the rubber really meets the road and you have real tension. But I think, look, if there's going to be a major slowdown, as she said, the new constitution doesn't propose a ban on mining, but if you're going to change the way how water rights are allocated, if you're going to change the way how who can be involved in the permitting process, it's going to slow down the trajectory of new mining, I would suspect, at a minimum. And then you get like this real situation where like, okay, there's at any given moment, there is less available and people don't like the politics of consuming less are really tough.
Yeah. I think that's right. And economics, by the way, not well equipped for a world where you're telling people that they basically just have to consume less. Like the whole thing is about growing, consuming more.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shall we leave it there?
Let's leave it there.
This has been another episode of the Odd Lots podcast. I'm Tracy Alloway. You can follow me on Twitter at Tracy Alloway.
And I'm Joe Wiesenthal. You can follow me on Twitter at The Stalwart. Follow our guest, Dr. Christina Dorador, on Twitter. She's at C. Riodor. Follow our producer, Carmen Rodriguez, at Carmen Armand.